Welcome back to the Goalie Corner, presented by One Stop Goaltending. I'm Coach Michael, and today we have Connor McKenzie, who you might have heard from last week's episode, back as a guest or making a guest appearance right after signing with University of Vermont Catamounts last week, I guess it was, now for you. Hey?
Yeah. So today, I just kind of made it finalized. So obviously super, super excited about that. And couldn't be more happy with how it all worked out. It was a long, long process for me, but I'm really happy with the spot I found and how it all worked out.
Now, we're not going to get too far into the nitty gritty with all of it, but today's focus is going to be spring camps and spring tryouts. And I think they're going to be kind of good lessons for even normal tryouts. We're going to start with like what the goalie should do and their focuses and what they should, how they should approach each ice time or each day. And then we're going to get into the parents and kind of slap the parents around a little bit, tell them to wake up. Because it's not about the parents, right?
Yeah.
But University of Vermont, how did you land on that?
So I had, right off the bat, I had, you know, great conversations with the coaching staff, you know, their head coach, Todd Woodcroft, great hockey guy. We got along really well. And, you know, with what he had to tell me about the program and, you know, hearing about it through him and through lots of people, it just seems like such a great fit as far as what they can offer with their facilities, their coaching staff, you know, their track record of moving guys on professionally. And, you know, obviously playing in Hockey East has always been kind of a goal of mine. And that's definitely, you know, a conference that, you know, you kind of grow up watching, you know, some pretty cool places in that division, and Vermont being one of them for sure. You know, I couldn't be happier about it. I know I'm going to go down and visit with my family sometime in the next week or two, which will be awesome. And then go down there and start getting to work soon. So really, really looking forward to it, and definitely couldn't be happier.
That's awesome. So we're going to get into the junior spring camps. I'm not sure if the WHL, OHL does any spring camps. I don't think so, because their roster kind of is based on who they drafted. But out here in BC, a lot of BCHL teams now are doing two or three spring camps or spring tryouts. And then junior B teams are almost getting away from doing tryouts because it's too financially hard for them. So what they're doing is partnering with the junior A teams to make it a bigger pool for them. And also it's almost like they're creating like a farm team mentality. Like, hey, you can't make the junior A team this year. Come down, play for the junior B team, and we're in close relationships. When you were, think back a long time ago now, right? You being a college boy and everything now. When you were first trying to make a junior squad, how many tryouts did you end up going to?
Yeah, so my would have been my 16-year-old year, I guess. So I was drafted to the OHL, you know, that I knew that wasn't kind of the path for me as far as not only the college side of things, but also just, you know, being 16, I wasn't capable of playing at that major junior level yet. So that being said, I knew, you know, junior A, or tier two was kind of the option for me to try to develop and you know, keep my eligibility open as well and all that stuff. But my 16-year-old year, going into that year, you know, you experience a bunch of different kind of like these camps, like you were saying, exactly. You get lots of emails and you might get coaches reaching out saying, we have this camp going on, this and that. And I definitely did a couple of them, looking back on it, probably more than I even like remembered, like just whether it was like an exposure camp or a camp that was affiliated with a good junior A program. I definitely did a bunch of them. And I think it's, which we'll get into a bit later here, but it's something that, it's really important to kind of see the full picture with these camps and you know, have a good idea of the, not only the organization you're putting yourself forward with, but also have, you know, realistic expectations and understand how to manage, you know, these camps and how you kind of approach them.
Now, if I could put you on the spot a little bit.
Yep.
Clearly it worked out for you because you got signed with University of Vermont, right? So clearly it worked out for you. If you could go back being 16 years old and go through the process again, would you go to more junior camps or less junior camps?
I would say less. Honestly, like the way it worked with me, so I went to a couple in my 16-year-old year. I ended up my 16-year-old year being affiliated with a junior A program here in the Ontario Junior League. I was the third string goalie there, practiced with the team. I only ended up getting into one game, but I was also playing for a U18 program at the same time. So it was a good little mixture of the two, and it was a good way to kind of ease my way into the junior level, you know, practicing, being around, you know, the environment there, and you know, at least getting into one game was kind of good too. But the first team that I actually ended up, you know, playing for a full season, my 17-year-old season, that team, I didn't even go to their camp. So it's funny how it works. You know, you go to all these camps and you try to, you know, put yourself forward and you think, okay, this is the team that wants me, this and that. But the place that I ended up, you know, going my 17-year-old year, I ended up being the starting goalie in my 17-year-old year. I never even went to their camp. It ends up kind of working out where they had kind of heard about me through me playing at the U18 level, and they'd reached out, and I went for a skate with, you know, their goalie coach and their coach. They liked what they saw, kind of, and they want to sign me. But I mean, it's definitely not a bad thing if you approach it the right way, the junior camps, as far as, you know, you can use it as a tool to not only see where you're at and compete against some good competition, but also a tool to, you know, develop and, you know, see where you kind of need to go. But it's not necessarily a bad thing, but at the same time too, you don't need to be going around to 10, 20 of these camps. Isn't going to really put you any further, because a team that wants you is going to find you, and you just got to kind of believe in that and know that even if you're not at their camp, they can still definitely, you know, like what happened with me, they can still reach out to you and it could all work out.
Absolutely. So you'd go to less camps, and that's kind of crazy that you signed as a 16-year-old as like the third string AP sort of situation, very involved with the team. Must have been a local team, right? Very involved with them. And then another team, based on how you played with your U18 club, wanted you, right?
For sure. Yeah, exactly.
Now, just from my personal experience, it's a double-edged sword when it comes to the local teams. I'm always under the belief as the first time you meet someone, that's their lasting impression, right? So if I've met you as a 14-year-old goalie, who maybe there's some room to grow, even when you're 19, I still picture you as that 14-year-old goalie with the same base set, like level, right?
Yep.
So that's kind of the double-edged, or that's the downside of the local team. Now, if they really liked you and they're trying to push you and bring you out to more stuff, clearly they're in your corner pulling you to their team.
Yep.
Right. And there are some junior teams that believe heavy in local development, right? So like a third of their team's local kids. There's other places that have zero local kids.
Yep, for sure.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, with me, like, I know that, like, even that team that I was with my 16-year-old year, both these teams were talking about, the one team was the Markham Royals, which is, I'm in Toronto here. One of the teams, it's they're both the teams, my 16 and 17-year-old year, were both within half an hour, 45 minutes from my house. So even when I went to the other team, I was able to live at home, which was still pretty cool. My first year junior, but even that team I was with my 16-year-old year, I went to their camp going into my 17-year-old year after being, you know, the AP on their team. And even after that, they still didn't really want me enough to give me a kind of like a full spot on the team. And then obviously I went to somewhere else and it all worked out, and I was able to, you know, be the starting goalie. So it really just, you can't really listen to one team or what one staff has to say too much. You got to just, you know, trust yourself and trust the work that you put in, and, you know, opportunities will definitely present themselves elsewhere. And, you know, like you were saying as well, it's kind of tough, you know, if they kind of view you as a certain player type, and maybe it's, you know, I wasn't playing a whole lot, I was just kind of there to practice, and I was happy doing that at the time, and you know, it could be that the, you know, they didn't really expect, you know, that I kind of had that capability in me. But then again, it's important that you kind of believe in yourself and you trust your own abilities and you keep it going.
Absolutely. Now, just touching on this a little bit, what should the focus for the goalie, like the athlete themselves, what should that focus be going into, let's just like make a stock tryout? You got Friday evening, Saturday all day, and Sunday, like three quarters of the day, right? So all in all, you got about two full days of ice times. Some teams still do fitness testing, probably not though. It's mainly ice times, couple practices, maybe a goalie session, maybe a handful of games. What should the goalie's focus going in be?
I think just the first thing is just be the hardest worker on the ice. I mean, that's something you can control, and that's something that obviously every team can notice, you know, whether or not that they're a guy you had in mind for the position before, or, you know, being the hardest worker, whether it's fitness testing or, you know, on the ice stuff, that's something you can easily control and just, you know, working your butt off, those diving for that extra save, you know, just never giving up on a shot. That's something that not only will give you kind of like a name for yourself, but also the teams want to have that around. And even as far as, you know, my situation as a 16-year-old, you know, they like kind of have me at practice because, you know, I would try my hardest. Obviously I was working my hardest to try to even get into a game that year, but teams like having around, especially as an affiliated guy, they want to have those guys around that are going to be working their butt off in practice, not only to push the goalies a little bit, but also to, you know, push the shooters when, you know, the starting goalie needs a little bit of a rest in practice or whatever. But being the hardest working guy is definitely the biggest thing. And also another thing is probably just focusing on yourself and not really trying to worry about if the eyes are on you or not. I know it's tough. You're kind of hoping that, you know, the coach is watching you at all times, or you've got some other stuff in your head, you know, you want to be seen, you want to do that, but just kind of relaxing from that side of things a little bit and just focusing on what you can control. And the main thing is just being the hardest worker, and you know, the rest will come.
Okay. So hardest worker and focus on yourself.
Yep.
Is there anything else that makes people stand out?
Obviously, you know, there's the talent aspect, and, you know, that comes in with proper preparation. And I think the biggest thing as well is, you know, for myself, at least, I perform my best when I'm able to just, you know, go out there and play, when I'm not worrying about too much stuff or too much stress about things. And that ties in exactly with the whole camp side of things. You know, if it's your first camp when you're 16, you're going to be nervous. There should be nerves, you know, that's all normal for everyone. But like I was saying, just focusing on yourself and what you can control is not only good for yourself and the way you play, but it's going to, you know, help you get seen, because I think that ties into the, you know, the way you perform exactly. So I think just like I was saying, you know, focusing on yourself, that'll allow you to just play your game and not worrying about the uncontrollables, not worrying about if this coach is watching me when I'm in for this rep, or I got this shooter on me now, or whatever it could be in these camps. There's a bunch of different situations that you can obviously work yourself into a little bit, but just trying to stray away from that. It's obviously easier said than done, but just going in there with the mindset of just like relaxing. It's okay. Like, I'm 16. I wish I could tell myself back then, like, these camps, you know, they're not going to be the be all end all by any means. There's other paths that are going to open up like much beyond this. So just take it for what it is, go in there, work your hardest, and just not really have too much stress with anything.
Yeah. I find myself saying a lot of the times to goalies that are going into those tryouts is just beat yourself or compete against yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Either from last save, last ice time, last year, yesterday, whatever, right? You're competing against yourself from the past.
For sure. Right?
And who was I talking to? I keep bringing it up. Was it him? I think it was Clay Stevenson, and I keep bringing him up, but it was a pretty good interview. He was on the ice with someone, just goalie ice time. The guy was a couple years older than him, fantastic skater. And he's like, he goes up to the guy, he's like, "Hey, how can I be a skater like you?" And he said, "Don't worry about me, worry about yourself." Right? He's like, ever since then, he's like, "Okay, I worked on my strengths, worked on my weaknesses. And he is a good skater now. Is he as smooth as the other guy? who knows, right? But you do have to be a little selfish. Now,
for sure.
Now, I think we can all say spring tryouts hockey is very unstructured. Everybody is in it for themselves. D-man are either too risky or too passive, right? Which leaves backdoor plays, breakaways, crazy stuff that doesn't happen normally in games.
Yeah.
So my advice for that is be a leader and communicate, right? Tell guys where you want them to go. Nobody has a system. Nobody's talked about a system. The coaches on the bench aren't coaching, right? They're evaluating. So do you take control of your zone? Mm-hmm. I think that's a pretty solid place to end up.
For sure. And even as far as, you know, as a goaltender, you can definitely kind of take charge of a little bit of some stuff on the ice, as far as, you know, being a good leader and helping the guys out, especially like you're saying, when in these camps, when there's not a whole lot of systems or coaching going on, it's a great time for you to be able to, you know, not only step up, but kind of show some leadership qualities as well, that, you know, these coaches are kind of stand and watch from afar. Even when they're on the bench, they're kind of looking to see not only what these guys do on the ice, but, you know, they're obviously watching the way you interact with the guys who are currently on their team or that you're competing against. So just kind of knowing that there's always eyes on you, and it's a good time to, you know, take some leadership, whether it's helping the guys out who might be coming from a level even below you, or just showing that you have that leadership ability and you're able to kind of take charge when need be is definitely a quality that can get you some more eyes and some more looks from coaching staffs.
Absolutely. I think that's good on the player side. I think we talked, like in the past, we've talked about the player or the goalie side enough, and I know a lot of other people do as well. What I really want to talk about is the parent aspect of the tryouts. Now, I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not placing blame. I'm not picking anybody out. I'm just talking generic here, right?
Yep.
Parents, you're there for the kid and the kid alone. Right?
Oh, 100%.
It's come to my attention that there's a lot of gossip in the hockey world, right? Yeah. A lot of people talking, oh, your kid's so good. Oh, my kid's done this. What's your kid done? And if your kid hasn't done anything, well, then you don't want to feel bad and say that, oh, my kid just sits at home and plays video games.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And just stuff flies. Now, you need to know there's more evaluators than you think are out there. So what you say, even maybe under your breath, is heard. The only safe spot is your car and your house.
Yeah.
Right?
No, 100%. And like even through my, you know, experiences growing up, there's obviously some parents who are doing too much and are worrying about stuff too much, or kind of making, you know, some trouble for their own kid, which obviously you don't want that. But I think just letting your kid be the one who does the talking as far as their talent, and you don't have to be worrying about anyone else's kids and all that stuff. Because it's funny too, like, you know, as you get to the higher levels, there's none of that anymore. So it's just kind of like, for some reason, the way it is when the kids are younger, everyone loves to talk and compare and do all this and that. And then when you get to the higher levels, it's all on yourself kind of, which is nice. And there's, you don't have to deal with that really, but just kind of letting your kid be the one to do it. And, cause you don't want to either have to force it for them, or you don't want to have to, you know, be the one that's hyping them up, or, you know, it's great to be there and you need the support fully. And I've been extremely lucky to have the utmost support from my family, but just kind of letting the kid be the one that's the deciding factor, and it's going to get him further. And then once he gets there, it's just going to allow him to propel himself to the next level, being the main factor in his development and his, you know, getting to that level.
You know, what's kind of funny. You kind of just sparked a thought of mine. If you have to tell someone you're humble, you're probably not humble.
Yeah.
Right. If you have to tell someone you're good, you're probably not that good. Right. Let the game speak for itself. Right. It's like when people play sewer ball, they all chant "ball never lies."
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So let the kid make the team or not make the team. based on their skill, not the politics and not parents trying to negotiate.
Yeah.
Now, the biggest thing that I kind of have a problem with is the rumor mill and all the extra talking, and then the parents not being the filter that they should be for their kid. Now, the filter in, when I say that, I'm meaning more towards, don't ask the kid, hey, what'd you think of so-and-so out there? Kid doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what happens if you don't make this team? We're going here. It's like, that's the wrong time to talk about it, right? Mm-hmm. There's a place and time. The goalie needs to focus on the here and now. And who cares about the other people? Who cares, right? I've had a couple conversations with parents a couple weekends ago, the last weekend. Oh, what'd you think of that kid? That kid's not better than my kid. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not talking about that kid. I'm talking about your kid, right? Exactly. This is what your kid can do better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll talk to that kid about what they can do better. But like, if you're concerned about the other competition and you're picking apart their game, you're not focused on your task and you're distracting the goalie themselves. Right.
For sure. And exactly like I was saying, that kind of ties into, you know, you perform your best when you're kind of able to just play your game. And if you're good enough, that'll take care of itself. And when you have too many thoughts going through your head and you're worried about the stuff that you shouldn't be worried about is when you might run into some trouble and you might be overthinking it and you might be not playing to the best of your ability. And that's definitely, as a parent, something you can control by, you know, obviously it's great to be competitive and it's great for your kid to be a competitor, to have that competitive edge and want to, you know, be better than everyone else. But at the same time, too, putting all these, you know, thoughts into his head about worrying about another kid or asking him this and that about different kids, that's only going to lead to the next time him going on the ice. And when he sees 15 goalies at one of these camps on the ice with them, he's going to be looking around all the time, trying to compare himself and scout out the talent, which isn't his job. His job is to be the talent, and the scouts will take care of that. So I think allowing him to be competitive or her, your kid to be competitive in what they're doing, but at the same time, not putting any, you know, unneeded, you know, pressure or stress or ideas into their head.
I think it also needs to be said that there's time and place to talk about stuff, right? I'm not saying never compare yourself to people, because it's just a human characteristic. It's going to happen naturally. But the time and place to actually talk about it, I would say, would be like Sunday after everything. Oh, what'd you think of so-and-so? We've seen him before. Like,
yeah.
What's he like? Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it also needs to be said that I'm speaking out of experience. I treated the tryouts as like playoffs. So when I got into the zone, I never left the zone until like Sunday. So everything I did was based around setting, like, feeling like recovered for the next ice time, because there's like 2 hours usually in between.
Yeah.
Right. So I'd go off on a jog, roll out, do some other stuff, hand-eye coordination, just stay mentally sharp. Someone came up and started talking to me like, oh man, you sucked in that one drill. It's like, you can't control the kids on what they're going to bring up, but it's easier to turn them down than your own parent when they bring up a conversation like that.
For sure.
So again, time and place. On the car ride home, just ask, what did you think, right? Let the goalie tell you their thoughts and opinion. And if they ask you for yours, then you give them, I'm not going to say sugar-coated, but give them that compliment sandwich that everybody knows about now, right? Give them something nice that they did, give them some critical feedback, and then end off with something nice, right?
For sure.
And just keep it simple.
Yep. Exactly. And just based on exactly what you were saying, you had a good point about, you know, when you're going through tryouts and all that stuff, you're in your own zone and you're not really, you're focused on the next ice time and that's kind of it. That's something that's huge as well, as far as, like, I wish I did a better job at that when I would go to these camps, but I think it's just like identifying before you go in there, maybe like having a goal for what you want to do. You're there for a reason. Sometimes, you know, you go there and you're 16, you're nervous and you're just kind of there. You're there because you think you should be there. You don't exactly have a clear cut goal. Am I here to do this? Am I here to showcase myself? Am I here to legitimately try to make the team, you know, whatever it is. I think it's really important that you go in there with a clear goal, and then that allows you to remain focused in that goal. And you're there for, you know, you're there for to handle business. You're not there to just the experience and all that stuff. Although the experience is great to have, and the more experience you have can help you. I think it's important that, you know, you kind of identify what your goal is and why you're there. And then that being said, once you're there, you're in your own zone and you're trying to accomplish that. And that's a great way to look at things. I agree.
Perfect. That kind of segues nicely to the next. And it's one of your points. It's be realistic, silence the noise, and digest what the coaches are saying, right?
Yeah.
How often did you receive an email saying so-and-so is inviting you to try out for their camp?
A lot. Yeah, a lot.
And it was all kind of generic wording, right?
Yeah.
Now, somehow or other, that generic wording got a little bit personalized with, hi, Connor, this is Coach so-and-so. We'd like you to try out.
Yeah.
Right? So they personalized it into knowing your name.
Yeah.
Which is a great start.
Yeah.
How do you know if they're serious about you?
Yeah, that's definitely tough. And it's something you kind of learn through experience. Sometimes it's, you know, you kind of learn it the hard way. Because you'd like to kind of trust that people are have the you like to think optimistically and you know, believe that they're interested in you. Then obviously you have these emails. If I pull up all these emails, probably from would be like 4 or 5 years ago now. I bet you half of them are all pretty much could be copy and pasted the same thing, just with my name switched out in a different team name. So it's looking back on it now, it's obviously easier to identify that. But I think the biggest thing is it's great that they're, you know, they know who you are. They got your name in there. They're telling you they want you to come to your camp. That's obviously a great starting point. And you're obviously doing something right if you're getting that attention, right? So not everyone even gets that. So that's obviously a great start. But I think it's just important to go from there, manage your expectations realistically. It's obviously, it's great to be excited about things and be really looking forward to it and optimistic about this team contacting you. Cause yeah, it is super exciting. You know, it's the next level. There's it's where you're trying to go, and you've got these coaches now who are trying to, you know, in the process of recruiting you. So it's obviously an exciting time, but you know, trying to figure out, I think what the real situation is. It might be doing your own homework, looking at their goalie situation from the last year, who they have committed to for the following year. You know, maybe it's trying to book schedule a call with the coach could be a great thing to, you know, for him to hear it from him. So I think there's a couple of things that right off the bat you can do to see how interested they really are. And that will only allow yourself to be realistic. And then you're not getting your feelings hurt. You're not getting, you know, put in a situation where you're like, oh, I thought they were really interested in me, and then they didn't talk to me the whole 3 days I was there. So I think right off the bat, doing your homework, trying to schedule a call with the coach. And right off the bat, if the coach doesn't have time to call you, then he's not obviously that interested in you. But if he is interested in you, he'll give you the time of day, and he'll prove that to you, and he'll show you that.
Now, you said all the right answers there, right? I think you kind of, you found your thoughts as you were going, but you came back with the doing your homework, right? Do they even have a spot on a team for a new goalie?
Yeah.
Calling the coach or making personal connection, right? They reached out to you. That's great. That's an invitation to reach out to them, right? I would always tell the goalies, whoever sends it, call them. Hey, it's so-and-so. And if they don't know who you are, there's your answer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
you know, that was kind of a mass thing.
Yeah.
If they know who you are, that's great. Now you can go on a conversation about what the camp's going to look like. How many goalies are you bringing in? Right. A lot of places are doing, like, I don't know, 4 or 6 teams, 3 goalies a team.
Yep.
You got 20 minutes, right? Per game.
Yep. For sure.
Right. Calling the coach is huge. I used to call the coach and just be like, hey, I'm excited to come to the camp this weekend, next weekend, whenever. And then I can't remember. I used to write stuff down because I needed scripts to talk. But what would happen is when I go to sign in, right, you shake everybody's hands, get your jersey. The coach goes, hey, you're the guy who called me.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is my number. Right. subconsciously, I just bumped to the top of his list to watch. Not to play on his team, to watch.
For sure.
Right? So that's an easy way to stand out. But
yeah, that's huge. Well, just anything you can do, obviously, to make sure that you're getting the eyes on you. And that's an easy way to do it, just by having a bit of a personal connection with the coach. And as long as, you know, they know your name and the eyes are on you, then it's all a matter of what you put forth and what you show. And that's the way it should be. And that's the best way to have it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, here's the real kicker, though. You want to be talking to the coaches. How often has a coach actually told you the truth?
Yeah, so that's run into that problem a lot, especially in the goaltending position.
And I'm not saying that we're all liars. I'm saying we, because I guess I'm a coach now too, right?
Yep.
Confrontation is challenging for people. Maybe some people's parents are scary. I don't know. But usually they hide a message within the language they're using. Right? Yeah. So when you're doing exit interviews or anytime you're talking to the coach, take in everything that they're saying and their body language. Are they looking at you in your eyes? Are they just talking in passing? Hey, how's it going? Good. Thanks. But right. Mm-hmm. Are they like, again, like maybe calling you out of the dressing room to talk, like, and then it's just you and them and they're focused on you. Right. Or are they telling you what you want to hear? Yeah. You've had a great camp. Yeah. No. Yeah. And you know, if they do the, they're thinking about something, they're thinking about a way to get out. Right. So you need time to digest what they're saying and take it and just think about how they said it, their body language when saying it, and making sure their story lines up too.
For sure.
Right. And if you're confused about what they meant by something, call them in a few days.
Yep.
After.
Yep.
Right. I don't think that's overstepping. I don't think it's overstepping.
Yep.
Right.
And at the end of the day too, that's exactly like that's sometimes when you're younger, it's, you're nervous to ask those hard hitting questions. And that's how you can kind of get played along into, you know, not really understanding the full picture of some of these situations. But at the end of the day, like we were saying before, if they're, that's a program or that's a team that wants you, they'll have no issue with you asking these questions and they'll have no issue with, you know, having the conversation with you. And, you know, at the end of the day, if that's what you do to get some more information and get to have a better idea of what's really going on, that's the best course of action. Cause then you're going into it with managed expectations. You understand what's really going on and what's the actual, you know, opportunity there. And that's the best way to move forward.
If they really want you, you won't even have to ask questions. They're just going to kind of throw all the information at you.
For sure.
Right.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's just do a brief little recap here. What is the focus for the goalie when they come into a weekend tryout?
Focus of a goalie going into a weekend of tryout is to, number one, be the hardest worker guy, hardest working guy on the ice. You know, you can show that that's an easy, something you can control. Just work your butt off, dive for that extra save. It's an easy way to make a name for yourself and show them that you're a guy they want to be a part of their program, whether it's an affiliated player or someone to make the actual team. Being the hardest worker is the best thing you can do. And then after that, I would say being able to identify what the situation really is at that camp, whether that being, you know, you doing your own homework on the team, understanding what spots are available, aren't available, maybe having a call with the coach before to see where he's at, if how interested they really are in you. That'll be a good, you know, telltale of that. And then from there, just controlling what you can control, not worrying about anyone else, just use it as an opportunity to better yourself. And you're competing against yourself, like we were saying before. It's for you to show what you can do.
Absolutely. All right. What's the parents' role?
The parents' role is to be, you know, be that middle filter in between, you know, what you're hearing and what you're telling your kid. Don't be putting too many ideas and you know, stress onto your kid through comparing him to others. It's great to be competitive, but but your kid will perform to the best of his ability without having to worry about the 15 other kids on the ice with him. So just let him handle what he can do. You can believe in your kid, and that's fully awesome, but just let him be the one that gets him to where he's going to go, because at the end of the day, if he's good enough to do that, that's what he'll do. And then just, you can help your kid as well with managing the expectations, you know, not giving him false hope on something that's not the case, being realistic and only telling him the stuff that actually looks foreseeable.
Absolutely. Now, how should the parents communicate? I don't think we necessarily touched on it, but you want the goalie to come to you to talk about their performance and ask you your opinion instead of just giving it to them. You want them to ask for it. Why? Yeah. Because then you know the goalie's in a good headspace to take criticism and take feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
For sure.
Be realistic. Don't play into the hype. We touch on that. Silence the noise. So all the drama, all the gossip, all the, oh, I'm going to this camp, I'm going to that camp, oh, who cares? And lastly, digest what the coaches are saying, right? Body language, huge. What they're saying, huge, right? Think about what they're saying, analyze it, talk to your parents about it, and then formulate maybe responses later in the week and reconnect if needed.
For sure.
Anyways, any closing statements? I was going to say arguments, no. As if we're debating.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that was pretty good. I mean, hopefully that gives people some more, you know, questions answered as far as going into these camps.
I hope so too. Thank you again for coming on for technically the second week in a row. For anybody who doesn't know, Connor McKenzie is the founder?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Founder.
Of Lift the Mask on Mental Health. We had him on the podcast last week talking about how that all started, how it came about, and what the future of it. The future is he's going to come on the podcast, kind of be a special guest, and we're going to have in-depth conversations about what's happening in the brain on mental health, how we're getting through it, what are tips, tricks. Listening to professional stories about their troubles with mental health and how they're getting over it. And that's going to be about once a month. So we're pretty excited about starting that. And hopefully you guys are too.
Yeah, I'm super pumped about that. And I can't wait to get into it.
Me too. All right. Thank you.